We're talking about this concept of how the mitzvah bris milah is docha, the isef teras, the isef cutting off teras. So if we want to start with just a little machshava, and I'll finish with some machshava, but just before we get involved in the sugya, there's just a very nice piece in Rav Kluger, who talks about how the nega teras is really the shorish, the source of all choli, all illness, and milah is the source of all refuah. Right, the Gemara tells us in Megillah Daf Yudayin Mabez that why we put the bracha of refuah as the eighth bracha, because the bris milah is on the eighth day and the milah is really the source of all refuah, while the nega teras is the source of all illness. It brings down here that when Avram went down in Parsh Lecha to Mitzrayim and Paro took Sarah, so the pasuk tells of Ayinaga Hashem as Paro Nigam Gedolim, he was afflicted with nega teras. And the Arizal writes that nega teras that Paro experienced in the times of Avram end up being the source of all the Eser Makos to come later on. So we see that the Negaim is the source of all Choli, and Bris Milah is the source of all Refuah. So that's very simply as to why when you have the clash between Milah and Teras, the Bris Milah, the Koch Refuah, is Docha, the Choli, the Teras. That's the idea here of pushing off all Chola, and that's why in Parshas Tazria begins with the Mitzvah Bris Milah, but the rest of it's all about Teras. Because these two elements of bris milah and teras represent the worst of the worst and the best of the best coming together. And that's the whole idea behind at least the halacha of a milah as being docha, the teras. Let's go through now the Rishonim here. This is a very loaded sugya. You know, many of you had some questions about Davar Shein Miskaven and Melacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. So just to make just short ha'aras or points to think of as we go through the sugya, is firstly, the Gemara says that we need a pasuk here to tell me that a bris milah is docha, the inyan of Isser Teras. So Rishonim talk about here, as an aside, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, holds Davar Shein Miskaven is Aser. So they prove from this point, how come we need a pasuk here to tell me that it's mutter? It must be that Davar Shein Miskaven Aser is a Isser Mideraisa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why you need a pasuk to allow you to have the bris milah docha teras. And other Yishoim say there's no raya from here. They assume davar shem miskaven aser is actually only an iser midirabanan. So that's a very important machlokus, whether davar shem miskaven aser is deraisa or it's an iser only midirabanan. Second interesting thing that comes up here is melacha shein tzricha l'gufa, that concept. If I were to ask anyone, they would say, does that exist anywhere outside of Hilchos Shabbos? And you would all say, myself included, no. It's a dinim leches machsheves. Yet the Rishonim here debate whether it does apply outside of Shabbos or not. Again, not for now, just food for thought. Defining Davar Shein Miskaven, defining Melacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa are very challenging. Again, not for now, but this comes up from this discussion. What I do want to focus on, however, is the Shita of the Rashi. It's probably going to be a very short shir today, but just whenever you come across topics that are esoteric, such as Teras, Tumavatara, Kudshim, so it's important to at least learn locally what you could accomplish, because if you just ignore it as being so difficult, you never get it. So here's a very nice, cute sugya we could do, if you could call it cute. And just to have some ideas to help you learn Teras elsewhere. When you see, you know, Maseches Shavuos talks about Teras, and then there are two colors, Shnayim Shem Arba, so you won't be so scared of it. You get to look into it a little bit. There's a big Baal Mor there, you're going to get lost in it. But when you can pick up some ideas along the way, so don't get so scared. And so that's why I figured we'd do this topic a little bit. And then, Mirza Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow, by the way, Yisrael Meir, are we having a guest speaker tomorrow?
I'm going to find out tonight.
Okay, we're going to find out. If not, you'll have me as the guest speaker, I guess. So we'll speak about whatever we'll speak about. But Thursday, we'll go back to Sugyas and Bris Milah about Shlichas by Bris Milah. So this Rajba asks the question, which I hope you all got a chance to see. He wanted to know why the Gemara refers to when a person cuts a Milah and there's a Negat Rash there as well, how come the Gemara calls this a Davar She'eno Miskaven? He was Miskaven L'Ketzitza. He had a mind to cut it off. Granted, there was two results. There was a Maisa Milah and there's a It's a ketzitza of a nega teras, but it was a ma'isa ketzitza. That's a melacha shein tzricha l'gufa. So what he answers is a very lamdisha answer. He says, "V'yesh lomar di katz rachmana b'feirish hishamer b'nega teras shlo tikot hachanami." Had the Torah formulated the iser removing nega teras b'lashon shlo tikot as a iser ma'isa, granted this is a good shiloh. Because there's a ma'isa iser ketitza of the negatras, is a ma'isa mila. Ella, what the Torah does, he shamar b'negat ras kasirachmana, kolomar shelo yitarenu ella boras kohen. The Torah wasn't concerned with the ma'isa ketitza. The Torah is concerned with the result, the totzah, of the person now becoming tahor. And the only way a person is allowed to become tahor is through a horas kohen, by the kohen examining it and declaring it tamei versus tahor. But it's not an iser ketzitza, it's an iser of avoiding circumventing the taras hakohen. So it's a very result-oriented. Once it's result-oriented, so it's not an issue of melacha shein shichlo l'guf anymore, it can now be a davar shein meskaven, because your kavana here is not letaharas ha-taras, it's rather lemaisa mila. And therefore, this is not a clash. What comes out from this Rajba, a beautiful understanding, when it is an iser of ketitas negetaras, it's an iser in a taras ha-taras. About being metar, a person who's taras, that's the violation of creating a totzah and avoiding circumventing the Kohen's process of being metaharit. The Ritva quotes two other answers. Now, the Ritva's answers I'm not going to go through right now, but the very fact that he brings two answers, the Achronim point out, is he argues and says, no, the Iser Ketitas Negataras is an Iser in the Maisa. It's not about Totsah, about creating Tara through the Kohen. It's an Iser Ketitza. And it's just like an Iser, it's just like there's a Maisa Mila, there's a Maisa Ketitza. And he has to give other answers how this is not davar she'eino miskaven. What comes out from this is a fascinating machlokas between the Rajba and the Ritva, is whether or not the iser ktsitsa of a negatras is an iser in the maisa, or it's a totzah of creating a tara, creating a person who's now tahor. That's the chakira, that's the machlokas in the Rishonim. So there are... exactly. So that's
the
so that so this is the nafkamina. This is mamash the nafkamina. So if you take a look on that point, look back in the Rashi and Kuf Lamed Beis Amid Beis. You probably were insensitive to this when you learned the sugya yesterday, this Gemara. But the Gemara had said if you cut off nega negam tahorim, you actually get an iser. So what's the case of nega tahorim, negam tahorim? So Rashi says around 15 lines up or so. Negarm tahorim, kigo nebahak, which is a type of taras, which is tahor, or parcha bakula, or the taras spread across the entire body, so he's all taras, that's a counterintuitive. If it's so much taras, he actually becomes tahor. It's like the paraduma, tame, tahor, tahor, tame. If you have a small spot, you're tame. If you have a big spot, then you're tahor. So these are two situations, says Rashi, ubakulu it's rabu le'iser ketzitza b'sifri. And he goes ahead and brings a medrash that is an iser even to remove the nega tahor. So Rashi clearly assumes that it's an iser of ketzitzas nega. Nothing to do with creating tahor. The guy already is tahor. The guy is a his whole body is full of taras. He's tahor. So removing it doesn't make him any more tahor. So according to Rashi, clearly it's removing an iser ktsitsa of anything that's called a nega, whether it's tameh or whether it's tahor, it's an iser the maisa. But if you look at the Tosas Rid, before we read the Tosas Rid, there's a Rashi in Becharos. You're not going to appreciate it unless you saw the Gemara there. But Rashi says in Becharos that let's say you have a nega taras that's the right color, but pachos mi shir. Pachos, I think it's a gris, is the shir of a taras. It's pachas mika gris, it's less than a shear, but it's the right color, it's the right type of taras. Is there an iser to remove it? So Rashi says, yeah, there's an iser to remove it. Because it's a shame nega, granted it doesn't create tumah, because it's lacking technically in the shear, but still, to remove it would be a violation, would be an iser, because Rashi says, anything that has a nega, any type of nega taras, bein tame, bein tahor, pachas mika shir, yosef mika shir, it's all an iser, maisa, ktsitsa. So now, how is the Rajba going to understand the Gemara and Kuf Lamed Beis Amid Beis if the Rajba says the whole violation of cutting taras off is to create tara without using a kohen? So why is it usher to cut off a nega tahora? So if you look at Tosas Rid says number 5. The Eino says negarim tahorim perish hamora kigon boak v'parcha bakula. That's Rashi. The Eino Nir Li. This does not appear correct to me. The Boik Eino Nega. That's not a Nega. Boik is, if you look in the Gemara, it's a Mishnah Negaim, and the Gemara in Shavuos quotes this Mishnah. Because the Gemara, the Mishnah in Shavuos, the first Mishnah is talking about Shnayim Shem Arba. Two types of Shavuos, which is really four. Shnayim Shem Arba, Hotzah Shabbos. The two types of carryings, you know, outside, inside, Ba'abais and Ani, which are really four cases. The Shnayim Shnayim Negaim Shem Arba, there are two types of Negaim, which are really four toldos, and the Gemara explains the different colors. It's based on if you have like, you know, milk and you put some red wine in it, how many drips of wine, it changes the color a little bit, makes it a little darker. So these are different shades of white. Off-white, pure white, whatever the color. Eggshell white, I think they call it in painting. Whatever the colors are. So then there's something that's really less than those colors. It's less than those colors. Bohek is less than those colors and it's tahor. So it says Tosfos Rid, the whole shu mikarim beitza, that which is less than the eggshell color, ulamata, below, lo mikri nega. That's not called a nega. Vakutatso ain't over. Those who cut it off have not violated an iser, because it's not even a nega tzaras. So what's the case? Right. So if you go down to the Tosrid, you go down two lines, it says, v'nir li, dinegarim tahorim, which types of negator is tahor, is aser to cut off? Heim nega ha'omed shnei shivuos v'lo pasha. It's mamish a nega teras, but without getting into the details, has to spread over the next week or two. It was a nega teras, but it didn't spread. V'lo hevi simen tuma shutar. That's a case. To remove it, because you didn't wait. It's something that could have become tame. Had it spread out, it would have become tame. That's where it's aser, because you're really circumventing the tahara process, which may have needed. But something like boek, which is tahor across the board, it will never become tame. There's no violation in cutting it off, according to Tosfos Rid. So Tosfos Rid is like the Rashba, that the issa to cut off neged tzaras is to avoid the process of the kohen, to circumvent the kohen, and you create the tara, that's when it's aser. But to remove stam something, a nega that's completely tahor, that wouldn't be a problem according to Tosfos Rid. So there's an interesting discussion in the Igus Moshe, he's a section of Igus Moshe in Kodshim Vitaros. So someone wrote a letter in discussing this concept here. And he brings on two other nafkaminas. In essence, the way he phrases this is a nega tahor, is that considered a nega or not a nega? Is a guy called a mitzora when you have a nega tahor or not called a mitzora? So he says that there are two nafkaminas. He says, number one, he suggests that do you have to show a nega tahor to a kohen or not? Certainly a nega tame is only going to become tame if a kohen declares a tame. But let's say, we know oftentimes the kohen didn't have to know anything. He could be the biggest Am HaAretz, the Gemara says. And the Talmud Chacham whispers in his ear and say that this is tame or say that this is tahor. So let's say there is a nega teras, which was clearly bohek, which is a tahor. Do you have to show that to the Kohen or not? So Moshe says that's an afkamina. If you assume bohek, that which is a nega tahor, has a haloshem nega, granted it's a nega tar, but it's a haloshem nega, then there's a mitzvah to show it to the Kohen nonetheless, for him to just say that this is a bohek and it's tahor. But if you assume that a nega teras that's tahor has no haloshem nega, and therefore you could remove it, you could cut it off, you wouldn't have to show it to a Kohen either, for that matter. That's what the...
If you only have the haloshem nega, then you could... You don't do it those three.
Do you want to say that...
Is it half of to say that?
What do you mean? Why?
I'm saying, because if... Maybe it only becomes a non-nega when the Kohen tells you it's tar. It's stuff they take into the Kohen. You see the Tosfos Rid.
So what's the status before you show it to the... But let's say you know the Vados, that it's definitely a bohek. Everyone knows, no one... Less man de polig that nega teras of bohek.
Because it is only like the pitzah, so you don't
right.
Really have to go there.
Exactly. There's nothing to... Yeah. So it, just like there's no iser involved, you also don't have to show a kohen either.
Right.
It could be the separate dinim, but you could still say that. There's still a kohen has to declare this is what it is. You know, but let's say a guy's got a white spot, which is just, I don't know, let's say he got a... And the burns on a good example, because that could be teras also. Let's say he's got paint on his skin, okay. And it ended up becoming part of his skin. And everyone knows that that's not real teras. So do you have to show that to the Kohen? Certainly not. So at what point does it become in the realm of a suffix teras that you have to show it to the Kohen? So according to Moshe, he felt that if it's a vade bohek, that's nothing more than just whatever other skin disease that doesn't, it's not shayach to teras. Another nafkamina, they say that one of the those who learned Daf Yomi came across the various mumim that disqualify a kohen from working in the Beis HaMikdash. And one of the mumim is a person who's a mitzora. He can't work in the Beis HaMikdash. He's tameh, and a person who's tameh can't enter the Beis HaMikdash. Let's say this kohen has a nega terash that's tahor. He's not tameh, but he's got a blotch. He's got a white blotch, which is a bohek. It's a nega tahor. Is that going to disqualify from him working in the Beis HaMikdash or not? So if you look back at the Tosas Rid in number 5, the last two lines, Tosas Rid writes, well, let's say it's outside first. If the whole idea, if we're saying a nega tahor is a non-factor at all, so it shouldn't be a puzzle. It should, mama should, it's no different. There's no issue to remove it, and there's no, you don't have to show it to a kohen, and it shouldn't disqualify you either. So Tosas Rid Lishita also explained to the end of number 5, V'hilkach, Chavin Shiroi Lios Tamei, Asa Lakoto, V'chol's Mancha Negabo, Avapishutar, Pasal Avoda, Kiditznan, V'perak Mumim, Elu B'choros, Ubale Negarim Tahorim, Psulim, Ba'adam, Ukshem B'behema. But it's maybe saying the opposite of what I said then. He says Pasal here. Ah, so this is interesting now. No, I think he's actually referring to he's referring to the Sheshuos, exactly. Yeah. If it's a case of a Taras that can become a Tameh, right, that can expand and become declared Tameh, so then a Kohen, even though it's not currently Tameh, that's Tameh. He's Pasul, he's a Mum. But let's say the implication is if it was a Nega, like it's called a Bohek, that's found on a Kohen, that would not disqualify a Kohen, that would not be a Mum, simply because it's not called a Nega Taras. However, the Rav Moshe quotes from the Gemara's in Bechoros Daf Memhei, and he thinks it's clear from the Rambam as well, and from Rashi, that person, a Kohen who does have Boek, would be Pasul, would be considered a Bamum. So this is another Nafkamina, whether a Boek, which is a Nega Taras Tahor, whether that has a Chaloshem Nega or not. So again, just to review the Nafkaminas, would we say such a Nega you'd have to show to a Kohen or not? Would it disqualify a Kohen or not? And would there be an Isser to remove such a Nega or not? And that goes back and depends on this Machlokas between the Rajba and the Ritva here in our Sugya. Let's take a look now at number 6, the Sheet of the Rambam. Rambam writes something interesting that the Minchas Chinuch picks up on. If you just pay attention to the beginning of the Rambam, Hilchos Tuma Saras Perek Yud Halach Aleph, he writes, Hatolish Simani Tuma Bein Kulan Bein Miktasim. Say a guy has some Simani Tuma. He's got some hairs, he got the proper hairs out and the proper color. And he takes out all of it, or he removes only part of it. Oh, Hichvesa Michia Vikula O Miktasa, you remove some of the wound that's there, either part of it or all of it. Oh, and this is the key line, Hakotets Hanega Kula Mibsaro O Mimir Beged O Minabayas. Let's say a person removes the entire flesh, the entire clothing, or the entire house of the tzaras. That's a violation. He goes on to say, "Bein kodim shiv ala kohen, bein besocha seger." Depending when this happens, regardless of when it happens, rather, over below sase, they violate an iser of hishomer b'nega tzaras lushmor ma'or lasos kechol asher yiru aschem akohanim levim kasher tzvisim tishmeru shelo yidlosh hoshe yakutz. He says you don't get malchus for a different reason until it's a moil, until you actually become tahor, but there's a violation to remove a different simani tuma. So the question Minchas Chinuch asks, how come the beginning when he says atolish simani tuma, he writes, bein kulam, bein miktzasam. You pluck out a hair, either all of it or some of it, that's an iser. When it comes to kotet, removing the actual negatzeras, he says, kulo. You only if you remove all of it. Implying if you only remove miktsaso, there's not an iser of ktsitsas nega teras. So what's the difference? Why by tolesh bein kul bein miktsaso there's an iser, and why by kotet it's only bekula? So the Minchas Chinuch leaves this as a tzarach in, but Rav Asher Weiss makes the following suggestion, and he thinks perhaps this is found in Parshas Tazria, and maybe there are really two dinim that are going on here. Says maybe the two dinim are, there's an isser of the maisa ktsitsa, And there's Isser also of being metaher shelo aide kohen. So how does this work out? So he says that when you cut off a nega teras, that's not being metar. It's not circumventing the kohen. That no longer exists. You just, it's b'metzias, it doesn't exist anymore. Overriding the kohen is when it exists, but you made it tahor without using the kohen. But when you completely obliterated it, where it doesn't exist anymore, that's not a violation of the Isser Tara. Let's look at another example. He quotes a Mikdash David, Rav David Rappaport on the Seder Kodshim. He has a similar shaila. Let's say a person has a beged and there's a neged teras on it. So you can't cut the beged, you can't cut the teras, you can't remove it. But let's say you burn the entire beged. So he says, if you burn the beged, the metzias is not here anymore. It just vanished. It doesn't exist. It's like Eliyahu Navi, you just disappeared. You know, the Truman Sadeshin has this famous question he wants to know. When Eliyahu Navi disappeared, so what happened to his wife? Ashes Eliyahu, is she now mutter to marry someone else or not? There was no death, there was no misa. Or no, b'metzias, he's not here anymore, so now she's single. It's a question of the Truman Sadeshin. Rav Achanan Wasserman brings this down in Kobet Shirman Kedushin, wanting to know, he brings a raya that maybe a misa, you need a maisa misa, like a maisa gittin, you need the maisa nesina, and there's no maisa misa for Eliyahu Navi. So this is a suffix, b'metzias doesn't exist anymore. Eliyahu doesn't exist in the world, b'gashmi anymore. So here as well, when you burn the beged, it doesn't exist. There's no tar or tumah to speak of. It was just gone. So here as well, says Rav Asher Weiss, it's a similar case. When you remove the neged teras entirely, that wasn't being metaher anything at all. It just doesn't exist. And when you cut off piece of it also, even miktsaso, it doesn't exist. And therefore he says, so when it comes to removing the teras entirely, bekotates the teras entirely, that's not a violation of circumventing the kohen. That's a violation of an iser ketzitza, maisa ketzitza. So when it comes to being tolesh, simani tuma, bein miktsas or bein kul, that's a violation. Because even in miktsas of it, you're furthering the process of tahara by removing part of it. But when you're kotate miktsas, it just doesn't exist anymore. And it's not until you cut off the entire neged teras, you didn't violate the tahara process because it's bata b'metzias. But you did mevatel the iser, you're violating the iser ketzitza, you did a full maisa ketzitza of the neged teras, and that's how Rav Asher Weiss explains the chiddush, the shita of the Rambam. What we see from all of this clearly, though, is that there is this machlokes rishonim, whether the iser ketzitza is a maisa ketzitza, or whether or not it's a totsa of creating tara, shlo yedei kohen. Finish off with just one last idea in machshava, about neged teras, how it works. We're talking about neged teras that's tahor. So it's a fascinating thing that a guy's got a small spot, a small neged teras, and he's tameh. And when the entire body is full with neged teras, he's suddenly tahor. So we have to understand, we know that the simen, one of the simanim of neged teras is lavan, white. And what does white represent in machshava? How do we understand the color white? So on one hand, we know Lavan represents Tuma. The name Lavan, the individual Lavan, as the Chazal tell us, he came from the Shorish of the Nachash. So that certainly is a koach of the Sitra Achra, that of Tuma. And he was, of course, the big Sone of Yaakov Avinu. So Lavan represents Tuma. In fact, the Medrash says that the Nachash HaKadmoni was afflicted with Tzaras. So he had Tzaras, and he passed it on to Lavan, who took on this white color too. Yet on the other hand, we know Lavan represents Tara. It's always that which is clean and pure. Yom Kippur, when the red string turned white, it would turn white. It was Kishela Gelbinu. So Lavan is Tahor. So is Lavan Tahor? Is Lavan Tameh? That's the question. So the truth is that the white is some combination. Black represents that which is mamish desolate and void of any life source. Mamish destroyed. That's black. Black is the shachar, the worst darkness. There's no light. Or a white piece of paper represents something clear. It doesn't have life on it, but there's potential for life. You could write on it. You can't write on black. There's nothing right. On white, there's nothing here. It's zero. But at the same time, there's potential to write something, to put something on white. So white represents something that lacks anything currently, but it's a potential of hope, of something in the future. And therefore, that's why it, on one hand, it represents tumah, the lack of life, but it also represents that which is tara. It's really turning over a new leaf, a new opportunity. That's why shelek, snow, winter, was winter. Winter is when everything's wiped out. Nothing exists. It destroys all the grass. It destroys all the trees and the leaves and the flowers and the plants. The white snow comes, it destroys everything. But at the same time, the Gemara tells us in Tainus that snow, I think it says, 5 times as good as rain. Because the snow seeps into the ground, it nourishes the ground, it makes it much more rich and fertile. So while it destroys, it also is a new opportunity for things to grow. So white has the ability of the emptiness, but at the same time for great opportunities. And that's why the Maharal points out, if the white color has in it all the colors mixed together. If you were to take the white light and to put it in a glass and to refract it, you have the rainbow. Because all the colors are found in the color white. So white is pure nothing, but it can create the most incredible results. It's in essence a Yerida L'Tzarech Aliyah. We're learning Hilchos Shabbos, right? Listor Almanas Livnos. You destroy something in order to build. It's Kareya Almanas Litvor. All these ideas of destruction, but in order to create. Black is utter destruction. White is almost like a reset button, a second chance. And that's why Yom Kippur, it's a second chance. It's a tumah that leads to a great tara as well. And that's why the moon, Levana, is white. It's called Levana because it waxes and wanes. It's ups and downs. It starts all over again to give you new opportunities. And that's perhaps why Mitzora and Tazria are connected. Why is Tazria the name of the parsha which talks about Taras? So we mentioned before because of the Bris Milah and the connection to Taras. It's connected to this as well because Taras is really an opportunity to Tazria. It's a new opportunity to really grow and to cultivate, and that's really the essence. So whenever a person encounters the color white, or a person encounters something in life which is somewhat of a Yerida, it's really an opportunity to start new and to grow from that.